See, there's one spirit, that's God's spirit. But the Bible says there's many operations. There might be an operation as to prophecy tonight. There might be an operation as to tongues and interpretation tomorrow night. Could be an anointing to pray for the sick, to heal tonight. Could be an anointing for miracles tomorrow night. There could be an anointing for discernment or for visions or most anything, you know. There's many operations. The thing is, we just have to kind of flow with the Spirit, work with the Spirit as to wherever we're at, what part of the country we're in, as to whatever the anointing is, as to the need of the people or as to their hunger and their thirst. A lot of people, you know, they play games with the Lord. Audiences in different countries play games with the Lord. And to them, the gifts are make-believe, you know, and they do all kind of things. They prophesy and they do all kind of things, and they're supposed to be working in the gifts. But there's really nothing to it a lot of times in what they're doing. And a lot of times they're just babies with good intentions. And so people live so shallow, and they walk so far, so distantly from God, that it's kind of like a joke when you talk about the gifts, you know. Folks are so lighthearted that they don't have any conviction of any supernatural thing happening. You know, that's beside the point. We eat so much and drink so much stay away from solitude with God so much until it's almost amusing to think about the lightheartedness of the people. And people walk around and they feel like they're great and mighty. And I was telling my wife today, and I don't mean this wrong, you know, we got prophets, we got apostles, we got sons of God, we got all kinds of things in the church when it comes to these great things. But I was just telling her today how that I pick up the spirit sometimes of an individual, and of course it was something here this morning, how that the individuals feel like they've advanced so with God, they've got a routine in what they do, you know, whether it's fasting, whether it's praying, whatever, and they just feel like they've advanced so that they are just a prophet sitting in our midst. Of course, that'd be wonderful, you know. Like Moses said, some come running to Moses and said, "Moses, there's people down yonder prophesying." He said, "I would to God all of them were prophets. It would have made his job a lot easier, you know. It'd be nice if we had about 100 prophets and I could say, now you go over here and you go over here and you go over here, and we'd evangelize the world in a little while." But it's amusing because some of them are just little babies that's not even out of their diapers. And they feel so lifted up and think so highly of themselves, so much more highly of themselves than they ought to, not thinking soberly, until about all that I get out of them is a conniving of the mind as to minimizing me, of me not being so important, and how that they are rapidly becoming so important every day. And I'm just minimizing, and they're just sweeping the land in their mind, you know. And I don't mean it wrong, but some of them, you can't hardly get them to sweep the floor. And I'm telling you the truth. I've tried just get some of them to sweep the floor and help me, and they wouldn't do it. But nevertheless, this is the way that they think of themselves. And the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes. And yet the Bible said that we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, but think soberly according to the measure of faith that has been dealt unto us. And if you've done anything, then the people can see it. And if they can see it, then think according to that. Whatever you've done in your lifetime or whatever you're doing for God, then just let the people see that and think of yourself as that, because that's what you are. See, the Bible said the child is known by his doings, not by his thinking, as to whatever he thinks himself to be, but according to his doing. So whatever you're doing, you know, whatever you're going after, wherever you're spending your time every day, and whatever, that's what you are. Whatever you have accomplished in life as to for God's cause or whatever, that's what you are. But it's amusing because here, these things are all around me while I'm trying to do something for God. course, I'm doing my little bit, less than nothing, but still I'm doing my little bit. And they're all around me, minimizing me as to how small I am and waiting their chance to get up here and to say something that would minimize me. I marvel. I literally marvel. I have preachers up here, you know, and they're so afraid that they're going to make mention of my name or say something good about me, you know. And the crowd seems to be pressing them a little bit sometimes because there's some people here that's got respect for us. And they'll say, you know, God bless our brother and all the other brethren. Glory to God. You know, make sure that they don't dwell on me more than just a passing remark, you know. Because they don't want me to get the idea that I'm anything or anybody think that... you know, they think by that does away with the minister, you know, and that does away with everything. And I, like a minister, I've told you about it in the Carolinas. He got up and he went to introduce us and he says, Brother Taylor, you remember Brother Taylor? He just about lit up like a firecracker. But anyway, this man got up and said, you know, bless God, bless God, bless God. Here he is. He's just a man like everybody else. I said, thank you. I got up, but the same man, as I said, I had been home at his house, staying there a day or two, and I had been out digging his ditch. I went along ditch, digging his ditch while he wasn't doing anything out there, and a few other things. But of course, that man came to naught. You know, where our problem is, brethren, if you could... think like this. The Bible said, esteem others better than yourself. You ever tried that? Esteem others better. That on nobody that you keep thinking about. Just get to thinking, you know, say, my God, that's the somebody, and I found out I'm the nobody. Because really, that's the way it is. That's really the way it is. When you think that you're somebody, then the Bible says you think yourself to be something when you're nothing. And you think yourself to know something when you don't know something as you ought to know, and that is that you are nothing. And look on the things of the other. Look on their things. Don't think about how you fasted, you prayed, and what you've done, and who you are. But think about what they've done. What they've done. And then you'll find yourself like Paul saying, you're less than the least. And then the Bible said, seek the welfare of another. You know, don't go seeking after your money and your thing and your business and your place in life and whatever. But seek after the things of another. Think about helping somebody else and whether or not somebody else is needy and whether or not somebody else is hungry and whether or not you can do something for somebody else. Don't sit around, you know, thinking, man, Brother Taylor, you didn't give me an offering. You know that I needed an offering. I got all these trucks and I got all these cars and telephones and I got living room suits and I got houses and lands and my Frank, why don't you give me an offer? Because there's a good possibility that Frank might be about to lose his car and he might could use an offering even if I had to sell one of my houses or one of my trucks, you know, to share with him. Good possibility it might be like that. Well, as the Bible said, sell all that you have. It's good that if you're not using things for the glory of God, you need to sell them and put them in the work of God, in world evangelism, wherever, or feed the hungry, the poor, whatever. I pray so many times, I pray, Lord, would you please send the needy to my house. Send the needy to my house. And then you have to be careful, you know, somebody knocks on the door, they come to the door and they knock on the door and they say, I'm the needy. The old bum, the old leech. Everybody's wanting to get everything I've got. I'm always somebody. Why don't they go to work? Isn't that right now? That's the way you do it. You know that's the way you do it. Somebody said, well, we need some help over there. You know, so I know somebody that needs some help. And the old drunkard said, well, he's got two or three kids. I know it, but he'll drink it up in booze. And so the little ones go hungry, you know. And on we go. That ain't the way you do it, folks. That ain't the way you do it. I told you this before, and maybe I'll tell you again tonight. I remember something about A.A. Allen, and I don't condone what A.A. Allen done. You know, that's his business. When we all get to heaven, as the song says, he'll be there and I'll be there, and the Brother Roberts, Brother Brown, all of us will be there, and we'll have to give an account for what we said, what we thought, and what we done. But anyway, I remember reading this concerning Brother Allen, and he did do a lot of good things. A man came to his service one morning, and I say this for the sake of those that's never heard it. And he sat down and he listened. He listened to Allen preach, and Allen was a powerful preacher. Very demonstrative. And he preached and preached, and when altar call was given, he fell into the altars and he gave his heart to God. It was the neighbor down the street, according to the story, that nobody had ever been able to get to. The man that was hard-hearted with a drunkard or whatever. So when he was finished, you know, preachers, they have a habit of standing back at the door and shaking your hands. And sad to say, rubbing the lady's hand sometimes while they shake it, talking about dear this and dear that, you know. And darling this and darling that. A lot of them when they're praying for them, and they'll say honey and darling and sweetie. But anyway, when Brother Allen went back, not that he was doing that, I don't know what he was doing, but he went back there and he says, I'd like to know at what point of my message and what place that when I was preaching that really touched you to cause you to give your heart to God in such a great way. Everybody amazed, you know. Man down the street that nobody could reach. And he said, Brother Allen, or preacher, he said, you never did say nothing, not a thing. He said, well, said, what caused that? He said, well, he said, the whole time you was preaching, said, a little white pair of shoes just kept preaching to me and preaching to me. And the man's little one had needed some shoes, and Brother Allen had sent some shoes down there for the little one because he was without shoes, perhaps cold or whatever the story said. He said, and that's what brought me to church, and said, that's what took me to the altar, and said, that preached to me the whole time that you was up there talking. And he gave his heart to God. So you never know. You know, one little pair of shoes, one little thing, and it might compel somebody to come to God and might save a soul. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that we should visit the orphans and the widows in their afflictions and keep yourselves unspotted from the world. So you don't ever know what you might do for someone, say to someone, or whatever might come about. You know? That's why that I ask our ladies to do something. We have ladies that go out, young girls as well, they go out and they sing at the homes, the convalescent homes and the homes for the aged, and they go out and they sing. And we have pictures where some of them have given their heart to God and they're just crying, and some of them's been healed, just been healed right there just from the singing and worshiping and praising of God, because they, down in their heart, they thought, these people care. You know, they care. What are they doing over here? Why are they concerned about us? Who are we? You know, we're the nobody. We're the castaway. We're the ones that's thrown away. Nobody cares for us. But nevertheless, somebody from Bethlehem did. And it's such a great, wonderful, astounding thing. So then let's look on the things of others and let's try to do something for somebody else. And in this, let's go out with the love of God and our light shining to compel people that they might come into the house of God, that the house of God might be filled up. He wants it filled up, and he said, you're the ones that's responsible to fill it up. Don't be an old half-hearted, light-hearted, hypocritical person that just sits around in your mind's just always going and evasive of the truth and just kind of a halfway mocking sort of a thing. You know, to lightly esteem, the definition for that is mock. And the Bible said God is not mocked. He said you give the more earnest heed to what I'm saying. For it's not the minister speaking, but it's God Almighty. They shall all be taught of God. And you take heed how that you hear what I say. So then we should not be lighthearted, because with that we're going to get in trouble. All right. In chapter 6, I'm going to read in chapter 6. And to just see if we can pick up a thought tonight as to talk to you a little bit. chapter 6, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he'd opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. And when he'd opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little while, a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he'd opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of fire, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Think about that now. The great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now we need to think over that a little bit. When you say the great day of his wrath is come, you know we are looking for the great day of his blessing. And we keep thinking that the Lord is going to come back, and that he's going to rapture us and take us away with him, which that is true. And we think of that great mighty day, and we sing that song, there's a great day coming after a while. And so we look forward to the great day. But the thing that the ministry is trying to tell you, and the thing that I as a minister am trying to tell you, is that the great day has already come. We're living in the great day. This is the day of the Lord. This is the great day. See, the great day come at Calvary. When Jesus died for your sins and died for my sins, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has come. And now the kingdom of God is in the earth, and the kingdom of God is at hand. And that great day of the kingdom of God is in the earth. Whereas we should pray, Father, thy kingdom has come, thy will, let it now be done on earth as it is in heaven. So then, that is the great day. See, the day that you're looking for is going to be the day of his wrath. For the great day of his wrath is come. And we're moving hurriedly and more hurriedly toward the great day of his wrath. See, this thing that's coming is the day of his wrath. When he appears in the heavens, and all of the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him, It says here that the heavens will depart as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island, it'll be moved out of their places. It says, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, bondsmen, free men, all of them will hide themselves in the rocks of the mountains. And they'll cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. He said, and the earthquake, the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, the moon turned into blood, and the stars fell from heaven. See, that's the great day of his wrath. So a lot of times we kind of get confused over a situation, and in our minds we get to thinking of a thing being a certain way. And then we get to looking back and we think, well, that's the way they taught it, and that's the way they believed it, and that's what they're expecting, and we're part of them, so we're all expecting the same thing. But see, you get beside yourself. Now is the great day. This is the day that the Lord has made. The Bible said, let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the wonderful day that the Lord has made. See, the kingdom of God is now in the earth. Now you say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. Well, I can vouch for that. Well, how can you do that? Because I've got the kingdom of God, and here we are in the earth. You're looking at me. So the kingdom of God is within me. It's in the earth. The law and the prophets were until John or until Calvary. And then since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And men have been pressing their way into the kingdom of God. See, maybe you're not pressing your way into the kingdom of God. Your mind may be on eating and drinking and doping and carousing and movies, riding automobiles, whatever there might be. You know, your mind might be on securities or education or whatever. See, but there are some people's minds that are on God. And they're pressing against the flesh, and they're pressing against their intellectual reasoning, and they're pressing against the mind of Satan, the satanic mind of lust and covetousness and the things of the world. And they are pressing into the kingdom of God. They're not giving their flesh to the devil to use their bodies. They're moving in their spirit into the kingdom of God. And they're pressing into the kingdom of God. For the Bible said men press their way into it. That is to say, if you're going to get into the kingdom of God is the spirit of Christ. It's a spiritual thing. And your angelic being, your spiritual being is pressing to get into that spirit of Christ or into the kingdom of God. And the thing that it's pressing against is the body. Because there is no good thing within the flesh. And these evil powers, as the fallen angels, are working within your mind. And these are thoughts. And these are evil spirits. And they're working against your spirit. And trying to hold your spirit, which is your mind, in captivity. That your mind will be a mind of corruption. The Bible said, if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. Because the flesh is corruptible. Paul speaks of corruptible flesh. All flesh will corrupt. All flesh will deteriorate. All flesh will go back to the dust. From the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. For there is no good thing within your flesh. So then the will is present as to the inward man, as to the spiritual angelic being. But how to perform that thing, as to a bodily performance, as to a heavenly endeavor. He said, Paul said, I can't find that. So I would do good as to the inward man, as to will. But he said, how to perform that which is good, I can't find. He said, for the good that I would do, I do not. I can't make this body get straight, he said. I can't make it do the things that it ought to do as to that which is as to the will of the inner man. And he said, so the good that I would do, I do not. And the evil that I hate and that I despise and the image of the bastard child and of the devil is always protruding and always out front. And the old lust of the flesh is always there. He said, and these are the things I find myself doing when I hate those things. So he said, I've decided one thing. If I do that which I hate, then it couldn't be me doing it. It couldn't be me doing it. He said, because those are the things I hate. If I do those things, he said, it couldn't be me. It's not me doing it. He said, it's sin that's in my body. It's corruption that's in my body. That is to say, my body is subject to vanity and to the things of this world. And that's the devil alluring it. That's the devil taking advantage. That's the devil putting those thoughts in my mind. That's the devil causing these feelings to run over me and all of these things to happen to me. He said, I've decided it couldn't be me. How could it be me, he said, as to the inward me? He said, because inwardly I want to do good. He said, how then could it be me? He said, I know for sure that's the devil doing those things. I'm not guilty of those things. That's not me doing it. That's the devil doing that. All right, he said, so the evil that I would not do, that I do. That is, I get caught in that. He didn't mean that he practiced sin. He didn't mean that he followed after those things, but he meant at his very best to conquer the flesh and put the flesh down. He was still, as an individual, as a bodily form, as a creature, subject to vanity. And that Satan was working overtime to bring these pressures. Someone would say, well, that takes care of it. I know I've done these wretched things and I'll be doing them tomorrow because I got some big plans, but I know it's not me doing it. It's the devil. No, that's not the devil. That's you doing it. You and the devil's one. Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil, and his lust and his will you'll do because you're of the devil. You love those things. You don't hate those things. Paul said, these things that come up before me, I hate these things. The Bible said you must hate your life. And he said, I hate these things. I hate covetousness. I hate jealousy and backbiting. And I hate lust and all of these other things. I'm not given to the things of the world. I'm not in the flesh. I'm walking in the spirit. I hate these things. But you don't hate them. You love to go out there and frolic. You love to go out there and mix and mingle. You love to sit down and watch the wretched things on TV and read about the ball games and talk about the things over here and joke and laugh and carry on. You like that. You do it every day. You practice that every day, which means you are of the devil. So then let's don't misconstrue what the great man of God was saying. He goes on to say, folks, don't let sin reign in your mortal body to fulfill the lust thereof. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He said, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Crucify it. Take it to Calvary. Well, anyway, he said, and these things that I would not do, then that's the things that I do. The things that I hate, the things that I do. The good things that I desire to do, that's the things that I do not. That is to say, I'm striving with all of my heart to be like Jesus, and I'm trying my best to do the good things of life, and I'm just stumbling and staggering in one problem right after another. He said, I would have come unto you, but Satan hindered me. It's just a continuation of these kind of problems. He said, but let me tell you something. He said, there is a power of faith that God has given us in the Son of God that can overcome these things. He said, for what the flesh cannot do or could not do, in that it is weak concerning sin as the creature being subject to vanity. He said, God sending his own Son in the likeness of the sinful image, as to the likeness of the bastard child, condemned sin in the flesh, and that he hath done away with sin in the flesh. He has taken away sin in the flesh. He hath nailed it to Calvary. And now, he said, you reckon yourself to be dead indeed by the body of the Lord Jesus and alive unto God by the Spirit. That is, let's say now my sins are gone. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. So then what am I going to do? Paul said, there's now grace. Shall I then continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can I that's dead to sin live any longer therein? And know ye not that if ye yield your body to any certain thing, then his servants ye are unto bondage, whether it be death or unto life? So then he says, we are not to continue in sin because we are free from the body by the body of the death of Jesus Christ. So then let us walk circumspectly. Let's do everything we can in the behalf of the Son of God. Let's do all that we can. Let's turn away from those things. And let's go in the direction of Christ. Let's have a pure heart. But let's move on with God now. We're free from those things. Do we desire again to be in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world by giving our mind as to the lustful desires of these passions, as to the human senses, to the world? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And the Bible said, and all of the world passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God, he abideth forever. So then you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. All right, so then we see what a great thing God has done for us. I say this over and over. Look what a great thing he's done for us. We were trapped, couldn't get out of it. No way. But God has done something here that's turned us loose. Now then, let us go on into the liberty of the sons of God. Let us stay in the liberties of the sons of God. And when we stumble and stagger, when we know we're doing our best, don't give place to Satan, not at all. Then when we stumble and stagger, don't condemn yourself. When you know from the bottom of your soul you was trying to do your best and you didn't stop by the wayside to watch the movies and you didn't stop to stare at something that's non-virtuous over here, or you didn't pick up anything to read and you didn't do anything, you just stumble and staggered as you tried to go on. Don't condemn yourself over that, because there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And you can't walk after the flesh because you're not in the flesh. God has killed the flesh. He's buried the flesh. You are an angelic being that's in the heavenly world, and you're separated from the things as to the lust of the flesh. And you're dead to the body of the first man, Adam, as an Adam all die. And now you're resurrected from the dead, and you're bone of the bone and flesh of the flesh of the second man, Adam, the quickening spirit. And you are in the spirit now. So then you are in heaven, and you're not in the earth anymore. So then we're walking with God and we're in the Spirit. See, and we are to walk holy and to be holy. For our body is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, which means we're holy in our body by faith in Jesus Christ. I'm holy, I'm godly, I'm pure, I'm without spot, I'm without wrinkle, I'm without blemish. How can I be like that? By the body of the Lord Jesus. Whatever he was, so am I. For the Bible said, as he is, so am I in him. And I am complete in him. I'm completely swallowed up so far as my sin, and it's gone. And today it's Jesus living and not me. It's Christ living and not me. It's Christ speaking to you and it's not me. If you say, well, Brother Pike, how do I know that? Because I tell you again, if it was me, I'd be back out yonder in the world where I was years ago when I first started. I didn't have time for church, and I didn't have time to go around telling somebody to do right, because I wasn't doing right myself. See, so I'm not of that anymore. I'm free from the world by the body of Jesus, and I'm thankful, and I'm grateful. And I'm not planning to go back out there in the hog pens and in the mire and get myself all dirty and smelly again. I don't plan to go out there. I might sometimes, on a worrying that it's raining, I might step into a water hole or a mud hole and I might get my shoes muddy. But you know, I'm this kind of person, even if I get my shoes muddy, I'm heading for the house. Because I'm going to turn the hot water on and I'm going to scrub till I get my shoes clean. And I don't like smelly shoes either. If I get the least bit of smell in my shoes, I'll put them in the tub and wash them. I'll turn the hot water on because I ain't going to have nothing like that. I don't want any odor about my body that's you know, a bad sort of odor. I don't want that. Sometimes I'm taking a bath two or three times in one day. You know, I get the spray. Better get some spray, disinfect, whatever you want to call it. You know, and I'll wash my shoe out and I'll just go, and I'll make sure there ain't nothing there. Because I want to be clean in my body. I want to be clean in my mind. I want to do the same thing in my mind. I don't want to go around with dirty thoughts in my mind. I don't want to look over here and see this and see that and let my old passions and let my body go out after that like an old hungry hog, you know, bubbling in the slop, or an old dog after a dirty bone. I don't want to do that. I want to be holy and godly in my mind. I want to be pure in my mind. I want to think holy, talk holy, walk holy, be holy. I want my reflex of mind, every intent of my heart, to be pure and godly and holy and righteous to the fullest extent. I want that day and night all around the clock. I don't want anything outside of that. That's right. So every thought being brought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I do this? Because this is the great day. This is the day when the kingdom of God is here. This is the day when the light is here. This is the day of the washing of regenerations, when I can wash away my sins. The man said, Paul, be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of Jesus. For it shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then I'm calling on the name of the Lord, and I'm walking with Christ. And I want to be like the Lord. Brother Taylor says, be like Jesus to be like Jesus. On earth, I want to be like him. So then, I want to be like Jesus. It says here that there is coming, and this must be shortly, there is coming a great day of wrath. A great day of wrath. The wrath of God is to be revealed from heaven against all sin and corruption and ungodliness. And every person that's give place to the intellectual mind, to the carnal mind, the mind of sin and the mind of death will be utterly destroyed. And the Bible said, and that bastard image shall be destroyed with the brightness of my coming. Because that's the body of Satan. That's Lucifer. That's the man Adam, the sinful one. And in Adam all die. And the penalty of death is there, and God's going to do away with it. So you can be slick, like I said this morning. And you can be cunning like the fox. And you can be like the snake in the grass. You know, you can figure it all out in your mind. You can slick it up. And you can slide by. And you can feel like you're the special one. And that it won't hurt you, you know. And everything's going to be all right. But God said, one day I'll meet you face to face, he said. I'll meet you as a bear that has been robbed of the cubs. And he said, and when I do, he said, I'll tear you into pieces. He said, you think I'm just like you are. You know, you do what you want to and you go where you want to. And you mess around with the things of the world and you keep yourself dirty and filthy. And you lust a little bit over here and you covet a little bit over here. And you blaspheme a little bit over here and you gossip a little bit over here. And he said, you think I'm just exactly like you because I don't do anything about it. He said, that isn't what it is at all. He said, I'm just long-suffering. Day after day and month after month. Long-suffering. Giving a day of grace. Long-suffering. That you, not any of you, should perish, but that all of you should come to repentance and have everlasting life. He said, but one day, I'm going to see that you're not going to straighten up. And he said, and I'm going to meet you head on. I'm going to meet you face to face, and I'm going to let you know that I'm not such a one as you are, and I don't condone your evil way of life. And he said, and I'll tear you into pieces. Beware you that forget God, for I shall tear you into pieces. It may be Japan, it might be Germany, it could be America, it could be the Philippines, it could be Korea, it could be any place, but all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. All right, so we see that all flesh has corrupted its way before God, and God has laid upon him, even the Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And he was bruised, his back was bruised. He was bruised for our transgressions and our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, by whose stripes we're healed. And so then he's the one that suffered it all. Now that he suffered it and we're free, why not abound in the grace of God? And why not go on in the liberty of the children of God? And why not get your mind away from the things of God and away from the flesh and away from all carnality? For to be carnally minded is death. Don't make provisions for the flesh. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I'm not a bad guy. I don't kill anybody. You know, I don't shoot anybody. I don't even curse anybody. You know, and all I want is just a bank full of money and a pocket full of money and a house over here and a car over here. And all I want is just everything I can get my hands on. But I'm not bad, Brother Pike. All right, so then the Bible says that Satan savors the things that be of the world. So that would probably make you about 10 times as bad as somebody would kill somebody. You know, they killed somebody and that would be about there. Oh, no, somebody says, not that. Yes, there's people that kill in battle. David said, I've run through a troop and leaped over a wall. And God said, he's a man after my own heart. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. How in the world could he do that? The Bible says there's a time to kill, and he killed at the time that folks ought to be killed. Oh, somebody said, now, wait a minute, the Bible says Jesus is coming back on a white horse and he's going to have a vesture dipped in blood, and the Bible said out of his mouth is going to go a two-edged sword, and it's going to slay till the blood runs up to the horse's bridle, because there's a time to kill. All right, now, so there's a time for everything under the sun. Isn't that right? So then there's a time to lust. Isn't that right? Now, Jesus said in the Old Testament, he said, and whatsoever your soul lusteth after, go ahead and get it. As to eating and drinking and whatever I've given you. As to the corn and as to the wine and the good things that I've given you. He said, you can have them. That is, the rendering there is desire. As to your desire. But on the other hand, there's another kind of lust. And thou shalt make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Look at Israel going after all those things. And look at the problems that they fell into. See, so we are to withdraw from that. We are to be spiritual. We are to kill out the body. We're on this side of Calvary. We're the spiritual people. Israel has to do with the body. And look at the way that they have suffered. Look at what they've gone through with. And here it says, when the seal is open, that these souls that are down under the altar are crying, how long, O God? How long, O God? That is to say, they that are on the other side of Calvary. I brought this out the other night, so I won't dwell on it tonight. But they that are on the other side of the altar, they are resting in their lot. That is, they that are on the other side of Calvary. We're on this side of Calvary. We've passed through the veil. We've gone into the heavenly places. We're not in the flesh. We're not of the world. The law's folded up and laid away, and we're free from sin and death. See, but those could not be made perfect without us. Though they live better than we do, and though they sacrifice continually, and though they separated themselves as a nation, and though they went through all the ritualistics as to keep the law, but yet they had no perfection. And here you are, you eating and you're drinking and you're going and you don't do anything in the way of sacrifice. It's really sacrificing yourself unto God. And you're perfect. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, you don't know how much I fast and pray. What's that got to do with it? Well, you see how I've done all these things down through the years. And I'm Pentecostally good. Let's give the Lord a hand. But the thing that I'm talking about is not your Pentecostal goodness. I'm talking about where the Bible said, and he so loved you while you were yet in your sins, when you wasn't Pentecostal, that he died for you and made you perfect in the mind of God before you was ever born into the world. Let's give the Lord a hand. And if you're not one of them, then you're not anything at all. Like the songwriter said, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Somebody would say, well, why in the name of reasoning are you always talking about doing this and doing that, and you want to do good and you want to sacrifice and you want to fast and you want to pray? If it doesn't make us any better to God, if that is going to help us and we're saved by grace anyway, why not eat, drink, and be merry? Forget about all this other. See, because I'm trying to teach you that salvation is by grace and that God did it for you and that you didn't have anything to do with it. But that our gratefulness of heart is this, that God on the inside is willing his way of life coming out into the body, and he's to subdue the body, and that this inner man is to the child being formed within you, and to swallow up the outer image that he may see the glorious image of the Son of God. See, we are subduing the outer man and subduing the outer man. What is fasting but subduing? What is fasting but surrender? Isn't that right? When I believe, I tell you again, that's a form of surrender. My mind says, nay, I'm all right. Nay, I don't need to live right. Nay, I don't need to go to God. What have I got to go to God for? Who is God? I've got my own life to live. See, so I'm believing my own thinking, which is of the devil. But when I turn to God, and I hear the voice say, and he was bruised for thine iniquity. And I say, I believe that. And it says, and you do this and you don't do that. And I say, I believe that. See, I'm surrendering. I'm surrendering my thoughts. I'm surrendering my plans. I'm surrendering my mind. I'm surrendering my way of life to another supernatural mind, another supernatural spirit. Until after a while, it's like the woman. She marries. And when she marries, she's got a mind of her own. And so they get together and she says, now look, we're married. Yes. Well, let's get it straight now. It's 50-50. So the man says, okay, You know, have it your way. And about 2 days later, she has lost out with about 1% of her 50%, and now he is the owner. You know, all you have to have is about 51%, and the other is under you after that. And from there, he begins to work. And the first news you know, she's going to do a certain thing. And he doesn't allow for it. And after a while, she surrendered some more. And then after a while, she's just going to show herself, and she's going to break the dishes, and she's going to slam the door, and she's going to jump out of the car, and she's going to commit suicide. And he says, well, so be it. And then when the dishes is broken, she has to come back and pick them all up, and she's decided she don't want to commit suicide because it wasn't as easy as she thought it would be. And so she's lost out again. And after a while, she has surrendered unto him. Now, I hope it won't be that way with me and the Lord. The Bible speaks of being saved as if by fire. You know, that'd be bad to have somebody sticking a firebrand to you all the time, you know, and said, straighten out, straighten out. Ain't that right? The Bible said the whip is for the fool's back. Isn't that right? And the bit and the bridle is for the horse's mouth, said you can't control him any other way. Now, he said, you fear lest these things come nigh to you. All right, so I'm just saying that to say this. We've got a perfection. This perfection is of God, but the thing is, we are subduing the body. We are redeeming the body. We're bringing the body into subjection that holiness may show forth in it and the characteristics of Christ, which is the inner man, as to say the fruits of the Spirit, are going to grow out into limbs that everybody can pick from, that they may feed from the tree of life because we're rooted within the river of life. So it's so beautiful to see what God is doing. Someone would say, well, why do we have to do this? It's not a matter of why that we have to do it. I go back to this again. It's not a matter of why we have to do it. There isn't anything else that you can do. See, it's not a matter of an apple tree having to bear apples. It doesn't have to do anything. It just grows, and the sunshine and the rain automatically pulls the apples out of it. See, because it's got an apple nature. No, somebody said, well, another tree could do the same. No, it bears according to its seed. There's an old thorny tree sitting over here, and it's just producing thorns and problems and woes and all these kind of things to the public. All the time. See, because of its nature. There's a man over here, and his nature is to smoke and to curse and to drink and to carouse and do the evil things of the world because the devil is his father. And he's born of the devil. While another man over here, this man is born of God, and his nature is to love and help and talk kind and loving and offer all of the assistance he can to humanity. Why is that? He isn't trying to do anything. It's just his nature. If you've got the nature of God on the inside of you, it's going to come forth in the wonderful things of God. It's going to produce the fruits of the Spirit. And according to the fruits that you produce, that's what you are. That's the kind of tree you are. No matter what you tell yourself, that's exactly what you are. The child is known by his doings, and according to their fruits, ye shall know them. All right, so then we can see how to differentiate. It's not somebody talking a good talk. It's somebody fighting a good fight. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. For he said, the talk of the lips only tend to penury. That is, the man of God said. So then, there is reward in all labor, and we're laboring for the master. For the Bible said, enter into the vineyard. Whatever it is at the end of the day, that's what I will get. So let me say this right quick now. And so then, on the other side of Calvary, these are not perfect. Why? Going about to establish their own righteousness, which was their own doings, their Pentecostal goodness. As we would say in this day, they stumble at the righteousness of God, which is in Christ. And what happens? Here somebody is religious all of their life. And they came up to Jesus, and they were so religious, and all of their life had been religious. And the commandments have I kept all the days of my life from my youth. And here comes a man and says, I fasted and I prayed. And Jesus said, a new day, a new day. This is a new day. It's by grace that you're saved, and not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. Therefore, you Jews, going about to establish your own righteousness, he said, we don't have that anymore. There's a change of priesthood. There's a change of the law. And now it's different. I paid the price. I've glorified myself. I've done everything so people will praise me, so that you Jews will quit praising yourself and quit magnifying yourself above each other, saying, look at my Pentecostal goodness. And I keep referring back to that because the same error is in the church today. See, it's not how long you've been there or how much you've done. The thing is, did you call on the name of Jesus? And here you are all these years. You've done that, and all of a sudden here steps up a drunkard and a harlot. And the prodigal that has squandered the goods. And he says, oh my God, oh my God, I have looked into the mirror of life. And I've seen what a wretch I am. Oh heavenly Father, would you just make me a servant? And the glory of God comes down, cleanses him and crowns him. Picks him up and said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And the harlots and the drunkards go into the kingdom before you religious people do. See, all of your life you've done everything you thought to please God. And when it's really broke down, all that you did was for self and to project yourself and to lord over somebody and to act real religious like, you know, and you didn't gain anything about it. And the drunken, the harlot wasn't doing anything but being out there wasting the father's substance and riotous living. And suddenly they came to their mind and realized they were a wretch and called on God. And they are found in that day with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. For the Bible said, unless you're found with his righteousness in that day, God will cut you off. And he said, any man having come in here without the wedding garment of Christ, which is the body of Jesus, having put on the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you'll be bound hand and feet and cast into the outer darkness. So then, beloved friend, we can see that before Calvary, there was no perfection. But today, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified and sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus. And what he wanted me to be, he made me to be that in Christ. And as Christ is, so am I in the sight of God today. And Christ, of course, is righteous, so I'm righteous in his sight today. I'm able by his grace to keep myself, and the evil one never touches me. Without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And this is what he's coming back after. So they without us could not be made perfect. And now here we are. Here we are. And what are we doing to the body? We're trying to subdue the body. We're trying to, you know, like an old possum. You take an old possum, a granddaddy. You take an old possum and you put the old possum up. Because the possum's like a buzzard. How many of you know that an old possum's like a buzzard? But it didn't make no difference when the old folks got hungry. You know, as far as they were concerned, just take the old possum, put him up, and get all the filth out of him, and then put him in the pot. And they ate him. And that's the way that they did it. You know? And that's somewhat like we are. You gotta have God to put you up like on a floored pen and get all the filth out of you. Even though the Lord does it a little different. But God gets all the filth out of you. And then he puts you in the pot. How many of you know that? That's right. It just drops you right into the fire. As a matter of fact, you just get roasted instead of going in the pot. Burns it all out of you. And then when you come on the other side, as it was with Jesus, when he resurrected from the dead, he came up in a new form. He had went down through the flames of hell to burn out my filth and Brother Taylor's filth and your filth to do away with it. And resurrected in the spotless, wonderful image that was lost in the fall from the garden. He went through the fire. He didn't have to go there for himself. But being made in the image, the depraved image of the bastard child, it had to go down through the fire. You know, and after you roast it and turn it over, like Jesus, he come up and he said, my flesh is meat indeed. Eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you don't have any life in you. And of course, they didn't know what he's talking about. They wasn't spiritual. They couldn't understand those kind of things. So I'm saying this, you know, day after day, I come here to talk with you. And day after day, I come here to preach to you. And I tell you the wonderful things of God. And I tell you that this is the great day. This is the great day. This is the great day. Let your nature go out to God as the nature of the Lord Jesus. And if you can't produce the fruits of the Spirit, get born again. It doesn't matter if you're religious and you fast and you pray. If you are an old haughty sort of a person, an old ugly spirited sort of a person, a demanding lord over God's heritage sort of a person, nobody can get along with you. Wherever you go, whoever you're with, they got to do it your way. You don't have anything from God. I said you don't have anything from God. Stop fooling yourself. You don't have anything from God. You're just a religious hypocrite. That's all you are. But if you are one that has been born again, though you might not have done all those things in your lifetime as to fast and pray, but on the inside you're tender and you're loving and you're kind and you want to help and you want to do everything you can to be reverent and respectful, let me tell you, you've got the nature of the Lord Jesus. And if you'll give into it and if you'll perfect it, it'll bring you into a beautiful thing, folks. Fasting will fail. Prophecies will fail. Gifts will fail, but charity will never fail. The love of God covereth all of the sins of the world. It covereth as charity the multitude of sins. All right, can you believe? Can you believe? Let's stand together. Can you believe? Do you believe in what I'm saying? This is the great day. Don't wait for the day of wrath, because this is the great day. And we sing the song, Are You Ready for the Great Day to Come? When the sinner and the saint shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for the great day to come? I tell you, that great day is the day of his wrath. Can we sing that little chorus? And this is the day, and this is the day that the Lord hath made. Lord hath made. I will rejoice, and I will rejoice. I'll be glad indeed, I'll be glad. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, be glad in it. This is the day, and this is the day that the Lord hath made. Can you sing it again? This is the day, and this is the day that the Lord has made, the Lord has made. I will rejoice, and I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it, and I'll be glad in it. Oh, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, glad in it. For this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has. Can you sing it again? For this is the day, this is the day the Lord has. Rejoice, I'll be glad. For this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice, be glad in it. For this is the day. The Bible said, and the moon shall turn to blood, and the stars shall fall from heaven. What a terrible time, the day of his wrath. And the Bible said, and the wrath of God shall be revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, and all of them that do evil, against every wicked way. Hallelujah. We sing this little chorus. Give me a key, friend. If my brother don't go, don't hinder me. If my mother don't go, if my mother don't go, don't hinder me. I'm on my way, praise the Lord. I'm on my way. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way, praise the Lord. I'm on my way. If my brother don't go, won't hinder me. If my sister don't go, won't hinder me. If my daddy don't go, won't hinder me. 'Cause I'm on my way, praise the Lord. I'm on my way. Sing it with me. We're on our way to Canaan's land. We're on our way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way, praise the Lord. Sing it again. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm on my way. Well, if the preacher don't go, won't hinder me. If the deacon don't go, won't hinder me. If the church folks don't go, won't hinder me. I'm on my way, praise the Lord. I'm on my way. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way. Oh, ain't that grand? I'm on my way to Canaan's land. Hallelujah, hallelujah, on my way. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way, sure enough, to Canaan's land. We're on our way to Canaan's land. Hallelujah, hallelujah. On my way, sing it more time. I'm on my way, praise the Lord. I'm on my way, hallelujah. I'm on my way. One more time. I'm on my way to Canaan land. I'm on my way. Folks, ain't that grand? I'm on my way to Canaan land. I'm on my way. Praise the Lord. Can you sing it one more time with me now? On our way to Canaan land, we're on our way, Canaan land. We're on our way to Canaan land. On our way, praise the Lord. See little David Paul waving his hand back there. We're on our way to Canaan land. Don't you feel good? On our way. Not because we fasted 10 days. Not because we prayed all night. Well, Canaan land, I'm on my way. Why? Because Jesus died at Calvary. I'm on my way to Canaan land. I'm on my way. Jesus is grand. I'm on my way. Praise the Lord. I'm on my way. Praise the Lord. On my way. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We're here to praise the Lord tonight. This might be the last night that you ever get to praise Him. He might call you over, as we say, into glory. But tonight, let's praise Him. We sang that song, I Think I'll Testify, just while I have a chance. And I think I'll praise the Lord just while I have a chance. Isn't that the way to do it, folks? Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Let's sing I Love Him. Can we sing I Love Him? I love you, Lord. All because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it again. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. All because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fears really, for how precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I firmly believe. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a bright and shining crown. Oh, when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, gonna wear a crown. We'll wear the bright and shining crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Let's give him another hand. Gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. Can you sing that with me? Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. We're standing somewhere. I see little Crystal kneeling down there, lifting up her little hands. Our little children, they know what this is. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has perfected praise. And understand. Standing somewhere in, you will find him, and I'll know him by the nail prints in. Can we sing one more time? Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. God is so good. Isn't God good? He's so wonderfully good. We sing these songs of praise over and over, night after night, because God is good. Let's sing this little chorus. Come home. Come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till the evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I heard my mother call at set of sun. Sing it with me now. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Oh, come home, it's supper time. We're going home. The altars are open while we sing. Come home. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. Sing it again. Come home. Says come home. It's really supper time, folks. It really is late. It's supper time. It really is supper time. And the Lord is calling his children all around the world. He's calling his children everywhere you go throughout the world. He's calling his children. And they have a longing, like Willie said. Got leaving on my mind. Got leaving on my mind. The children of God will begin to get leaving on their mind. Come home. They got leaving on their mind. The world is getting so bad. It's just a nightmare. It's just a one big hideous nightmare. Sorrow, heartaches, no matter what you've got, it's just a nightmare. Loved ones are being killed. They're being trapped. Pulled off, little children are being stolen away at supper time. Far in memories now, I see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I can hear once more. The banquet table's ready. Up in glory, and she's standing there waiting at heaven's door. So come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come on home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. To have a chance to stand here to worship the Lord, talk about the wonderful things of God, and know that the evening shadows really are falling. It's a privilege like the world doesn't have. You have a privilege like the world doesn't have. The shadows are falling all around the people out in the world, and it's night. It's horrible. That's why so many people are running into the church. The shadows are getting more denser and more denser. When you see all these evil things take place where people are killing and stealing and mutilating, that shatters. That's evil spirit. The light is moving away. The more that you know, the more is required. And yet you're doing less. In a day when you know more, you're doing less. And so the judgments of God are falling more and more. See, because the judgment is upon the shadows. And time comes from shadows. And the judgment is upon the shadows. That light should dispel, eradicate shadows to bring forth the everlasting daylight. See, and when you become shadowy and the shadow hangs over you and you become interwoven with the shadow, then the wrath of God is upon you because you've given place to that which is unlawful in the world of God. So the shadows are falling. Things are getting worse, worse, and worse. The shadows are falling. They're falling. They're lengthening. And the light is being taken out, which is grace. Which is grace. If you're not talking right, thinking right, living right, doing right, desiring right, endeavoring to follow Christ, then let me encourage you to get right, folks. It's late. It's real late. Don't play around with God. People are running into the church to get out of the shadows. You have a privilege. You are children of light. The shadows will never overtake you. But the shadows are overtaking them, and they're becoming fearful. For the Bible said, they that be drunken as to be drunken in the flesh, drunken off of the things of the world. They are drunken in the night. They are drunken in the night. And they're out there in the night, in darkness, and they cannot see when light comes. Because they're children of darkness. They're creatures of darkness. Let's sing another little chorus, can we? Let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Oh, let us love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him at the noontime. Love. Love. Sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven has come down. Oh, heaven has come down. Sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down on me. So let us pray. Pray. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him at the noontime, praise. Wanna praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes down. Let's sing this little chorus. And this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven. For I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. I'm shouting the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith in Christ. I'm shouting the victory. We've crossed over the carnal mind into the mind of Christ, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Out of the darkness and into the light. Oh, this is like heaven to me. For this is heaven, you see. Oh, yes, this is heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and I'm dwelling in heaven, you see. Oh, this is heaven to me. Oh, this is heaven to me. Out of the darkness and into the light. Oh, this is heaven to me. One more time. And this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven. Well, he poured in the oil and the wine. Wine stirred my soul, found me and dying on the Jericho road. And he poured in the oil and the wine. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me on the Jericho road and poured in. Can you sing it with me? Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me dying on the Jericho road, and he poured in. Sing it with me. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's that wine that restoreth the soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. Poured in the oil. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's that wine that restored my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho. Poured in. Can you sing it one more time? Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth your soul. Found me pleading and dying on the Jericho. He poured in the oil. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. Lord, to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, people must be led. No one in the wilderness can run. From Egypt, bondage free.
And when you reach the other side, you shall. Can you sing that with me? Over to the other side of Jordan, the Lord that Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, cross over to the other side of Jordan, the Lord, the Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall be free. Cross over to the other side of Jordan, the Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall be free. I'll go with them through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him, with him all the way. For where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. For where he leads me, I will follow. And I'll go with him all the way. Grow sweeter each day, grow sweeter each day. His love, it grows sweeter, grow long. For all through the garden, I can hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter. Can you sing that again? Grows sweeter every day, grows sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter, prolong life's way. And all through the garden, I can hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter each day. Can we sing this little chorus? Give me a key. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley.
my bright and morning star. And he is the first of 10,000. Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is.
For he is the lily of your valley,
and he's your bright and morning star.
And he is the fairest of 10,000.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know
who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley,
and he's my bright morning star.
And he is the fairest of 10,000.
Everybody ought to know.
Let's sing this.
Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold. Oh, Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious.
Can you sing that with me?
Oh, my Jesus, loving Jesus, what a wonder you are. Brighter than the morning star. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious.
One more time.
Oh, my Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are bright.
Can you give him a wave offering? Do you really love him? Does he mean anything to you? Give him a wave offering.
Oh, my Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are the morning star. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way.
precious, more precious than gold. Can you say, Jesus, I love you? Tonight, we're praising and worshiping the Lord. You go back out, tomorrow's Monday, and you face again the cold, hard world. And unless you fill up, fill your hearts with that wonderful blessing of God as to the overflowing, then when you get out there, you don't have any strength. And when you're confronted with the things of the world, or when somebody says something or does something, you just can't make it. When somebody crosses the grain, you get upset. You get all perturbed and you can't understand what's taking place. You lose your temper. You fly into a rage. Why is that? Because you haven't been tempered in the things of God to learn patience, to wait upon the Lord. And you're hasty in spirit to say something. Well, as the Bible said, a person that's hasty in spirit, you know, it's like a fool. You have to restore them over and over. But a wise man will keep it in until afterwards. He'll hear the matter and then he'll give his opinion. And he'll listen carefully as to consideration of a soul or that he might have blood on his hands. So then let's be diligent. Let's listen very carefully to the wonderful things of God. And let's be sure. Let's be sure. Before we say anything at all, let's be sure that we know what we're saying. To acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways that he might direct our path. Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. You belong to me in Christ, and I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy in that I have to present you to God as a shepherd presents his sheep to the master. And I must, as a little shepherd boy, I must present you to God. And I seek to do that you might be perfect before God, blameless, spotless in body, soul, and spirit. And that you might be found blameless in that day, having not your own righteousness, but trusting in the wonderful righteousness of God. I seek to do this so that you can have the fullness of his blessings. Going on to a full reward, I've tried to tenderly carry you like a mother would her children, because I'm concerned about you. I don't want not one of you to be lost. And as Jacob said, I don't want to overdrive that the little ones be hurt or that they be left behind. But I want us to be tender toward one another and loving and kind toward one another. Always helping one another, walking in the light, having fellowship one with another. Never living in our own natural mind as to the child that God hates and the image that he despises. But being one, just one mind, the shepherd has one mind, even the mind of Christ. And you are one with the shepherd, and you have his one mind, and you love one another. The shepherd loves you, and you love the shepherd, and the shepherd esteems you, and you esteem the shepherd. And all are one. And don't listen to another mind that tries to come in, drop little seedling as to thoughts, to make you say, well, he's just a man like I'm a man. That's not a man just like you're a man. When somebody comes around and they begin to insinuate that, you let that devil get on his way. You remember, that's not a man just like another man. That's your brother. That's your brother. Do you go over to the house and look at your brother and say, ah, it's just a man like another man? No, you say, that's my brother. That's my brother. I'm your pastor. When you look at me, I'm your pastor. I love you. Some of you, you're my children. I'm your father in the gospel. You're my children. When I look at you, you're not just somebody else. You're my children. You're my children. So I pray for you. I love you. So block out, put out, put from you all of these that's going around that always trying to lead you off to something of their own mind. Because remember, if you don't listen to me as to this mind of Christ that speaks to you, you're going to listen to your own mind. Are you going to listen to somebody else's mind? And whoever talks you into whatever they talk you into, then you are his follower. Because if he out-talks you,
as to what I've told you of the mind of Christ, and you're following him in his mind. So then, remember, we are of one mind, even one mind, and that mind says to esteem one another and to love one another and to esteem each other very highly for their work's sake, and to look on them not as a man, saying, don't get carried away now. You keep your eyes on Jesus, somebody said. Don't worry, my brother. Only the blind is talking to you when they start talking in those kind of terms. See, they're blind and they can't see it far off. They're blinded by their own ambitions and desires. Remember now, he's just a man. See, they are blind, and if you listen to them, then are ye blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. He said, well, isn't he just a man? By no means. He's not just a man. You're not to know him after manhood or after the flesh. You're to know him after the Spirit. He is bone of the bone and flesh of the flesh of Almighty God. He's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a member in particular of that royal body. And that old mind that thinks otherwise and is trying to teach you otherwise is of the devil. And it's trying to take you away from your foundation, because within its mind and heart, it esteems itself as to be something, believing it's something or it's going to turn out to be something. And it's trying to, as Paul said, men rising up among you to lead you or some astray after them own selves. So you remember, this is your precious brother and your precious sister. Not as something just to say as to words, but they're very precious. And you'd esteem them very highly because it is the Lord's body. Esteem them better than yourself. All right, while you've got your hands up and your eyes closed, I tell you good doctrine. I tell you the good things of God. I tell you the right way, that the cunningness and slyness and craftiness of mankind cannot overthrow you, that you be not carried about by every wind of doctrine. Be established in the wonderful doctrine of Christ. I'm going to ask Brother Larry Bullard if he'll come up and dismiss us tonight. And while Larry's coming, let's worship the Lord. You know, a few months back, Larry wasn't even trying to serve God, and he confessed it. But the Lord visited Larry. And since that time, he has diligently tried to serve God, to give him everything that he has of his mind, of his strength, of his substance, everything. He's trying to give his whole life without reservation of heart to God. Larry learned how sudden the Lord can say, come over here. How quick he can call a young man or a young girl or anyone, how quick he can call you.